Welcome, everyone, to Mountain View Church. I'm so glad you could make it. It looks like we have room for a few more people to make it, don't we? So we can go up to 50. So next week, make sure you let someone know that they can come and worship with us, and that would be awesome. But today, I'm excited that you guys are here. The Word of God says that wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He is there in our midst. And so I'm excited to come together, excited that you could come. And so let's just bow our heads and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to be here and working in our hearts. Jesus, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you so much that you died for us and sent your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to visit us in a special way. You're always here, God, but we ask that this morning we would be especially aware of your presence, God. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, you'd speak to our minds, and that we would be changed and be drawn closer to you today. We thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Graham, I'll pass it over to you.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you this morning. We're going to sing the song Christ is Enough. Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial my soul will sing, no turning back, I've been set free. Christ is enough for everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ my all in all, joy in my salvation. And this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm my soul will sing, Jesus is here, to God be the glory. Christ is enough for me, Christ is enough for me, everything I need is in you, everything I need, Christ is enough. Christ is enough for me, Christ is enough for me, everything I need is in you, everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back.
Christ is enough.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love. On display for all to see, you are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope.
Time for prayers of the people. Jesus, we come before you humbled to know that you are our King, our Lord, and our God, but you are also our Father, Abba, Daddy, who cares about every part of us, the small things and the big things. So God, we bring before you our personal requests. We bring the need for healing in our bodies, in our minds. We bring to you the need for comfort for those in care, for those in hospital, God, for those who are lonely. God, I pray that you would minister this morning, even as we're praying right now, whether people are at home or here. God, I pray that you would make them so aware of your presence, that you would help loneliness disappear for this moment, God. We're not alone, Jesus, because we have you, even if we're alone in our room. So we pray against loneliness, Jesus. We pray that we would all be aware of your presence. Jesus, we thank you for our gardens, for flowers, and for your creation that we've been able to enjoy so much more this year during this time. God, I pray that you would give us a revelation of your glory and power every time we step out our door and look at the creation around us, Jesus. We thank you that you long to bless your children. We thank you that you want to be so close and dear to us. God, I pray that you would open our eyes this morning to you and your love. God, whether we're at home or here, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you and to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Linda is going to come and do the scripture reading for us today.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. And our New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 47. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, Save yourself from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being served. This is the word of the Lord.
I feel like I've been up here a lot this morning. It's like, what am I doing? All right. We're going to do something different. That's in my middle name, different. So during this time of COVID, we're not allowed to get up and pass the peace and greet each other and shake hands and all of that. But I think it's so important to acknowledge that we're here together, to not just look at the back of someone's head, but to look at each other's faces And we can do that without touching, without moving. So what I want us to do is I want us to just stand up, stay in your pew. You can't leave your pew. You have to stay distant. But stand up, turn around, look at everybody in the face, wave, and really just make some eye contact and let everybody know that you see them. Okay? We see each other. We bless each other. We acknowledge that we're here together as the body of Christ. And we can't mingle, but we can acknowledge, can't we? So, thank you guys. I just think it's so important to be acknowledged. So important to see that we're a body. We're not just the back of people's heads. We're not just listening to a live preach that is accessible online as well. But we are living people. We're humans that need relationship. And I wanted to share on the topic that I'm going to share this morning. I've been wanting to for a long time, a lot longer before the pandemic. And then when the pandemic hit, I was so discouraged because I was like, I can't preach on that now. And then I thought, no, I'm going to preach on it anyways. And when Emery gave me the opportunity quite a long time ago, he said, well, what are you going to preach on? And I was like, I think I'm going to preach on this. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know if I can. And then as time got closer and closer, Emery kept on saying, what are you going to preach on? And by that time, I felt that I was not able to preach on this topic because I was not perfect in this area. How many times do you feel like you don't have authority to speak on something because you're not perfect in that area, right? And so to be honest, it's been a really hard struggle this week. God, can I really share your truth on that matter when I'm not perfect in that manner? And God reminded me that his people are not perfect. Only he is perfect. And there is example after example in the scriptures of God's disciples and the apostles teaching on things that they were not perfect on. And they were prideful. They were selfish. They were in competition with one another. They denied Christ. They did all this kind of stuff, and yet God used them to make his written logos word. I think that I not being perfect in a little sense of this message doesn't discount me then from encouraging us together, including myself, to do better. So this morning I want to share with you guys about biblical community. And in the bulletin, if you saw the online bulletin ahead of time, it said, Jesus, us, and others. And I think that so often we get the Jesus part right, us and God. Or we get the us and other part right, partially. It's really hard. We're human. But oftentimes we don't realize how tied together they are. We really can't live in Christian biblical community if we first aren't tied to Christ in a right relationship. We can be nice to each other, but true Christian community comes out of an overflow of relationship with Christ. So first, it's Christ and us. I don't know if you were here or if you were watching online when I did the children's story with the carnations. They're flowers. We put the flowers into a colorful jug. Those flowers suck up the color in the jug and they become like that color. And I use that to illustrate incarnation. When Christ is in us, we become like him and the visibleness of him. And Christian community is that. We can't actually be like Christ in community as a body without him doing it, without him filling us and doing it. Otherwise, we're just a group of really nice people. And in the Bible, there's just so many places where it describes us as one thing, not just a group of individuals. We're individually saved. But we are one body. We are one temple. We are one house. We are one bride. Those are corporate ones, right? Like you can't have a house with just a door. You can't have a body with just a big toe. You can't have a temple with just an altar. So what I want to talk to us about is that corporateness, that coming together to be that one unit put together. So I have this list for you guys, and it's called the One Another's of the Bible. If you Google it, you'll come up with a whole bunch. Some people claim there's 59, some people claim there's 64, but basically wherever in the Bible it's talking about one another, things that we do onto one another, they've made a list of all of those in the Bible. So I'm going to go through some of them for us, and we'll see how good we're doing or how not so good we're doing at being with one another. So they're kind of divided into big chunks. There's one another's about love. There's one another's about unity. There's one another's about humility. And then there's a bunch of randoms. But let's start. It says, be at peace with one another in Mark 9:50. Don't grumble one to another, John 6:43. Be of the same mind as one another, Romans 12:16. Accept one another, Romans 15:7. Don't bite, devour, consume one another. Seriously, guys, just don't eat one another, all right? That's Galatians 5:15. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another, Galatians. Gently, patiently tolerate one another, Ephesians. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another, Ephesians. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Seek good for one another. Don't repay evil for evil. That's Thessalonians. Don't complain against one another, James. And confess your sins to one another. Just that little part. How are we doing? Is it hard to do that in a pandemic where we can't meet together? Let's continue. One third of these one another's instruct us to love each other. Love as an action. So love one another. It's all through the Bible. I'm not even going to list them all. Serve one another, Galatians. Tolerate one another in love, Ephesians. Greet one another with a kiss. You got to do some research into that before you go doing that, okay? It was got a cultural context. I don't want to be kissed by anybody as we leave. Be devoted to one another in love. And then it goes on to humility. Give preference to one another in Romans. Regard one another as more important than yourself. That's Philippians. Serve one another, Galatians. Wash one another's feet, John. Don't be haughty, but be of the same mind, Romans. Be subject to one another, Ephesians. And clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, Peter. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. Don't lie to one another. Comfort one another. Encourage and build up one another. Stimulate one another to love and good works. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. You know what's crazy is that these are impossible to do on our own strength. Impossible. It's a huge list. As I'm like preparing for this, I'm looking for something in the Old Testament. All of these one another's are spoken to us in the New Testament. And I'm searching, and you know what I found? Psalm 133 on unity. There's different places in the Old Testament that speaks of unity. But there's not one place that talks about how we treat one another on this individual in a corporate setting thing. And I thought, that's kind of weird. I wonder why. And then I realized that maybe, and I'm not a Bible scholar, but maybe it's because the Helper, the Holy Spirit, had not yet come. Christ had not yet reconciled us to himself for relationship in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, we have Genesis, and right in the beginning in Genesis, it tells us that we are made for relationship. It tells us that we're made for community. We were made in the image of God. In the image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together, there was three, and we're made in his image. So we're made for community. Then in Genesis, you know, he's creating man and woman, and everything is good. In the first chapter, seven times, everything is good. And in chapter 2, it describes a little problem, though. There wasn't someone for Adam. And you know what it actually says is that God called all the animals to him and he named them all one by one. And in naming all the animals, he found no one suitable to be in relationship with. Now that story would have been completely different if Adam was the female first, you know. She would have gotten to cats and that would be the end of the story. But it was a man. And so he went through all of the animals and no one was suitable to have relationship with. And so God created woman because he had created humans to be in relationship, to be in community, to not be alone. So he created this incredible, unified humanity that he had relationship with. They had relationship with each other. They had relationship with the animals. And then we know the story. Man sinned. And God's perfect plan was broken. And we still live in that brokenness. But we went from this relational perfection to a place of shame and blame and accusation, distrust. And I can't find there a lot of instructions saying to forgive one another. I can't find a lot of instructions to say living in harmony with one another and all this kind of stuff. There's a bit, but not a lot. Instead, I see the Ten Commandments and I see God saying, you guys, can you just not kill each other until I come back? Can you just like hold on a bit? Don't kill each other. Don't hurt each other too much. I've got a helper coming for you. And then we see Christ come to earth to reconcile us, to fix a relationship. And on that one, I want to bring us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, and see, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. We go back to the creation story, relationship was broken. But if we're in Christ, there is a new creation. Often we think about that verse in a Sunday school format of a butterfly coming from a worm, caterpillar. But I think it's so much more than that. It's not just talking about our individual new creation. It's saying, hey, Christ came and fixed what was broken in Genesis. He's fixing it. So Christ came and fixed it. He reconciled us to God and therefore calls us to be his ambassador to reconcile one another to each other and to God. In the Old Testament, we look at things like the temple points to Christ. We look at a bunch of different ceremonies and sacrifices that pointed to Christ. But in the New Testament, Christ came, died on the cross, brought us together, and now we are those things that point to him. Christ dwells in us, and instead of the temple or sacrifices pointing people to God, we are that temple. We are those sacrifices, and we point people to God by being his body, by being his bride, by being his temple, his living temple. In Acts, we already heard it being read, but we're going to go back there. It's Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves in the teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and of prayers. And awe came upon everyone. Many signs and wonders were done, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they would sell their possessions and good and distribute their proceeds to all that had need. And day by day they spent much time together in the temple. And they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with gladness and generous hearts, and praising God and having all goodwill of all the people. And day by day the Lord added to their numbers those that were being saved. And you know what? In this scripture, it wasn't because there were signs and wonders, I don't believe, that that was the only reason that numbers were being added. It was because people were seeing Christ incarnate through his church, through his bride. They were seeing them be together day by day. And you know what? The reason why they were together in the first place is because they heard the gospel and they believed the gospel. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and Peter said to the others, and they said to the apostles and Peter's, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all of those far away. That comes before they were gathered together. And following their baptism and following them being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were together a lot. And many were added to their numbers every day. I just find that so incredible. They were Jesus to the people. People wanted to be part of that community. People could see Jesus. People could know what he's like. Jesus forgives. He calls us to forgive. Jesus humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. He calls us to humble ourselves. Jesus loved on people intentionally. He calls on us to love people intentionally. Everything that Jesus wants between you and him, he wants between us and others to direct them to him. All those one another's are so possible when we're connected in that one another sense with Christ first. I'm going to read from 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without complaining, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another with whatever gift you have received. Whoever speaks must do so in speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so in the strength that God supplies, so that God might be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever. I want to challenge us to think about those one another's as what God has called us as a church to. To humility, to unity, to love, to hospitality. He's calling us to be Jesus to the people, together, as one. That might look different right now. How can we do those things online? How can we encourage one another online if that's the only way we can do it? How can we encourage one another at home, in our bubbles? How can we encourage one another as a church, coming together limited to 50? There's ways. God doesn't ask us to do more than we can handle. So there's ways. How do we pray for one another in this time? Can we phone people? Can we Skype people? Can we have a small group? Can we practice this at home? Can we practice these at work? Can we be the church outside of Sunday? I think so. The church isn't Sunday. The church is God's body, his temple, his bride, being him to others. This week, I'd encourage you to try to intentionally do some of these things with the Holy Spirit's help. We can't do it on our own. We're not perfect. We're human. We have broken things in our lives. But forgive and lift others up. And my hope is that maybe next week you guys will be excited and you'll come, and during the prayers of the people, you might be able to say, hey, I found a really cool way to do some of these one another's this week. And we can encourage one another to continue in these one another's, remembering that we are the church, that we are the reflection of Christ on earth for right now. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to have a couple more songs, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Jesus, so much that we are your church. But God, thank you that we don't have to do it on our own strength, that we can't do it on our own strength, that we can only reflect you by having you flow through us. And so, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us, overflow through us, come upon us. Help us to reflect your glory, Jesus. In your name, amen.
That was great. Thank you. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, I'll see. the blessing, which we're going to sing, if that's all right. We're going to sing this one that goes like this. Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise Him, O creature, here below. Praise Him, the blender, Him, the world. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God bless. Go in peace.